they're like not like stubs now. That's actually good. Length. I wanted to grow them out so I can just do the gel. Because the last time I did the tips, it was like a little rough on my nails, which I knew it was going to be, but they were pretty. So
I mean, you never got your nails done. You do them every week now. Look at you.
Every week, like once every month, once every other month.
Okay, that's a lot.
Every 2 months. That's definitely a lot for me.
That is a lot. Considering you never got them done before.
I know. I need to do my baby's nails. His nails are too long now.
I'm still waiting for mine to heal after I viciously attacked them a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes.
What'd you do? Bite them all off?
Yeah, when I was taking off my dip nails, it did not go well. Yeah. So I think once I'm done picking my cuticles to death and they've healed a bit more.
That's fair.
And then it was so bad when I took a chunk off, it cut my nail in the middle of the bed. Like there was a slice in the towards the middle. Mm-hmm. So that finally cut down.
Yeah.
And so once that grows a little and my cuticles heal, hopefully by the end of next week, I can go get them done so I leave them alone.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's rough out here. Although I keep trying to go back, I keep going back and forth between colors because, like, I want my, like, most, if not all of my wardrobe. But the only thing that would do that is, like, if it's black.
You're like a French Manny or something.
Or like a nude.
Like a nude.
Red goes with everything.
That's true.
Red?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do red.
Like a classic red lip or something.
Which I love a good red. God, then they'll look like my mom's. I love a good red, but I don't know. What I was wearing recently was skewing more like cool tone. So I was like, that kind of clashes.
Or maybe do like a pastel color. Like if you want to do like a pastel, like a violet or something. That way it's a color, but it's not too like in your face. And it'll blend better with what you have rather than like, you know.
Like red. A softer sage green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
And that's really because of the spring is coming. And so those are going to be around a lot more so.
Yeah.
I was going to get a cute ass Valentine's design too. And I'm so pissed.
Aww. Oh yeah. I got to do my nails before I go over there. So we can take some cute pictures.
I guess I got to do my nails too. Wait, do you take pictures of your fingers?
No, but I mean, our hands are going to be in pictures, I'm assuming.
No, just like this.
I am getting my hair done that week.
We're going to Vogue in our photos so you can see our nails.
We're going to be like posing like this all the time.
And I'll take the photo then. y'all can be in it. I'm not going to have my nails done or my hair done, so I'll just
You're
I'll
literally doing your nails right now. All you got to do is paint them.
I'm just making them even. I'm not getting them. Make sure I don't hurt myself.
Yeah. I called to make an appointment to get my hair cut, and the soonest opening, the earliest appointment she had was March 5th. So I'm going to have cute new hair. She is. She's wonderful. She deserves it.
You going to do bangs?
But also, I think I am. Do you want to do like Jenna Ortega? It's kind of like my vision.
Those are cute. Oh, you look so cute.
I'm excited. I haven't had bangs in almost a couple years now.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Since I broke my arm.
Oh, yeah, because you can't maintain bangs with a broken arm.
That was going to be the year of bangs. I was going to keep them for a full year. And then I broke my arm. And I swear they were growing so fast before that. I was getting trims like every 6 weeks. And then I broke my arm and I was like, they're not growing. They're not growing at all. They're just sticking out.
That's really what headbands are for.
Mm-hmm. Headbands, lots of hairspray. I was just surviving at that point. Yeah. Anyway. Let's get into today's episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Where We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And we're back with our Conversations with Oscar series, where we're discussing the Best Picture nominees of the current 2024 season. Today, we're talking about Past Lives. You know what? I never did print out the updated version with the correct synopsis. So this is not about a stubborn teenager enlists the help of a tough U.S. Marshal to track down her father's murderer. This is Nora and Haesung, two deeply connected childhood friends, are wrested apart after Nora's family immigrates from South Korea. 20 years later, they are reunited for one fateful week as they connect notions of love and destiny. Nominated for Best Picture, it was also nominated for Original Screenplay by Celine Song. This is Past Lives. Okay, friends, let's get into it. What did we think?
I'm still boo-hooing after my second watch. I finished watching it on the bus on my way to work this morning, and I was like, I'm fine. This was fucking beautiful. This was so poetic and so delicate and so, like, it touched all the bases, and it was so... I personally don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's perfect.
I agree. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful film. I love how quiet and intimate it is, and how it's so simple, but it's so complex and so deep what these two characters are experiencing. I thought the cast, Greta Lee, T.U., I did not look up how to pronounce his name, T.U. and John Marago.
Teou is how you say his name.
Teou, thank you. I think the cast was phenomenal. I think they did great. I really, really loved this.
Yeah, it was good. It's well made. Its beauty is in its simplicity. It's very, very simple, but it's executed very well. In the beginning, I was kind of like, okay, where's this going? This doesn't seem exciting. What's going on? But I think when it clicked for me is when my mind is emptied. Whenever her and her husband are talking in bed and he's like, you know, come visit? Yeah, he can come visit. It's fine. Like his openness to it was very, very refreshing to me. There are very mature conversations about like how it's okay that he comes to visit, and I wasn't on board until then. I was like, this is really pretty, lots of pretty shots, I don't really care. But it wasn't until the culmination of those three and them having that conversation and just being so like, I just loved how the acting really kicked into gear to me whenever they first meet up as adults at the park. That was really good. Because there's a lot going on there, but there's not a lot said. I think it's a testament to those actors. They did a really good job with that. There's so many things that he wants to say, but he doesn't know how to say it, or if he even should say it. Same with her. I love that it wasn't a traditional triangle, love triangle, because I would have thrown up. But I also do like how... Because I like how it wasn't so much about her, like, her wanting to be with... Haesung, but more so like what he represents, like the life that she had, the life that like the memory of what once was, you know. And I think that because she quite literally lives another life than she did when she was 12, and I think that's very interesting. It's a good movie. It's very good. I was very impressed, especially because this is like the first writer director, her debut, which is amazing. Yeah. She's married to the guy who wrote Challengers, the Zendaya movie that's coming out soon. I mean, it's basically, it's pretty much her story, which is very interesting as well. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I just sent you guys the tweet, but I came across my timeline after we rewatched it on Friday. And it's these four pictures from the movie, and it's the lines that separate them. And in each picture, there's like a literal line separating the two actors from each other. And I think the details of this movie, it is so simple, but every detail was so perfectly thought out. A lot, it reminded me a lot of Barbie, like just how, what's the word I'm looking for? Intricate the details are. Like when, after we leave them for the first time coming in from school and the girls are picking their name, her parents are listening to That's No Way to Say Goodbye by Leonard Cohen. And I think like that's such a brilliant song choice for this movie, which I did not know was a Leonard Cohen song until I saw this movie. I knew it as a, from a cover of a British artist that I fell in love with years ago, Leanna Lajavis. So that was a surprise. Learned something new. But yeah, I loved the attention to detail and things like that throughout this film.
It reminded me of Brooklyn. Very similar story, except she's migrating when she's an adult. And so that presents a different series of events and troubles and things like that. But yeah, it's the same situation, you know, with Brooklyn. She finds an Italian she loves, and but she's drawn to her home country and what it is to be Irish and all of that. Yeah, I also think like this movie, had it been directed by someone else, could have been way different. I love the delicate touch she Celine Song has with it, and it's not nowhere near the same movie, but I feel like a woman director, like when I think of another comparison is Hustlers, that movie directed by, oh my god, Scafaria, what's her last name?
Marlene Scafaria?
Laurie, I'm so sorry. I'll look it up later. I'm so sorry. But her directing that Hustlers made it one fantastic movie. And it's clearly her movie. And if it was anybody else directing it, it would have been completely different. I think Celine Song, it was just perfect. And yeah, it's her story, so that helps. But I think it just, the acting, and the writing, and the directing all just kind of came at a point, and it was beautifully executed. Yeah.
It is Laureen Scafaria.
Laureen Scafaria? Okay.
So the mom, when she lets them go on their date, when they're kids and they're at that beautiful park, the moms are talking, and Haesung's mom's like, you know, why are you giving all of this up? You're an artist here. Your husband's a filmmaker here. And she goes, if you leave something behind, you gain something too. Love that line. Yes. But it reminded me of a Joni Mitchell song, not musical theater. It's both sides now. Something's lost and something's gained in living every day. I've always loved that lyric of like, yeah, you're going to lose some, but you're going to win some. And that's just, that's life. That's how it goes. And so I loved that sentiment here too.
I really love that the screenplay is nominated because there's so many just like genius, like beautiful, like thought-provoking lines in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That are so, I think it really hits at the heart of like human attachment or human emotion, regardless of if it's like romantic or not. But there's so many just like kernels of like, this is what living is. Like, if you leave something behind, you gain something too. The one that, you know, that whole conversation that she has with her husband while they're laying in bed, there's so many things in there. It's so, everything, I think all of the scenes with either her and her husband or her husband and Haesung, or Haesung and Nora. Like, all of those combinations are so loaded, whether it's more verbal and external or whether it's just, like, in their body language, in their face. Everything is so loaded and so layered with, like, emotions and feelings and things that they can't fully express. But I think her husband and Haesung are able to express it better to her than she's able to express it externally. Because, like, when he says, "You make my life so big."
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a beautiful compliment to give someone. Like, "You make my life so big." It's so much better and so much grander and so much, like, I don't know. There's so many things there. I mean, you could say that to anybody, and it's just such a beautiful sentiment of how someone's life adds to your life. Mm-hmm. And it's just so nice. So sweet.
Yeah. When he says that he started learning Korean so he can understand, because he wants to understand her when she dreams. Swoon. Crying. Beautiful. Like, excuse me? Do people like you exist? Because yes, please. I don't understand, you know, you only dream in Korean and I want to understand you. That's such a beautiful concept and such a beautiful idea. Yeah, that whole conversation is gorgeous and I think such a beautiful scene between the two of them, because, you know, we kind of see them a little bit of flirt in the beginning when they meet, but then they're just like married. And so we don't really get to see them as a couple and to have this really quiet, beautiful moment. It was really nice. I loved it.
I like that the mm-hmm. drama between the trio feels realistic. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel outlandish and like, maybe because this says more about me than the movie, but I was like ready for him to like fly off the handle or say something like rude to him or her. Like I was like waiting for it. And I was like, this is so nice and so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they're all handling this, like adults should. You know, he realizes that, like, he even says, like, I don't want you running off with him. But at the same time, I know you need this. I know you need to, you know, have this conversation. And he's smart enough to know that, like, she obviously had a life before him. So, like, she needs to deal with those things. And I read this thing, like, Celine Song. Hold on. She talked about how, like, she compares the feeling of losing a part of yourself to a donut. So, like, you're a donut. And then there's a donut hole. And so you lose a part of yourself. When you grow, when you move, whatever. And so that you meet somebody and they fall in love with the donut, who you are then, right? So then that donut hole comes back to you and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. That was me then. This isn't me now. So you're trying to, so she compares that to a donut. And I thought being compared to a donut is fantastic. I love that.
That's so sweet. And it's true though, because like that's what she says. That's what she says in the film. She's like, you knew that girl, you love that girl, and the person who's here is not that girl anymore. She stayed there with you. Like, you know, it says so much to how people grow and change and evolve as they mature. And, you know, speaks to the duality of that, because just because you're not that person anymore, or she's not that person anymore, it doesn't mean that she never was. She was that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, they had that, and it was real, and it was valid. And just because they change and they grow as people, you know, they can still appreciate those things, which is what I love so much, that, like, it never really, on the second watch, it never really, even though there's a lot of, like, loaded moments, and her and Haesung have all this emotionally charged connection, it's not like she was ever going to leave her husband, because she's secure in that and in that connection and that life that they've built for each other. So, like, she knows herself and she knows what she wants and what she has. She just wanted that, like, to be able to finally make that misconnection, whether there was, like, a future in there or not. But her knowing that, you know, there's not, because she has this now. But also going back to the line, you dream in a language I can't understand. That first part is so sad to me. It's so like that part is sad, and then him wanting to learn Korean to understand her is so sweet a sentiment. But the first part is like it's like so much about like relationships, like you know, if you don't know the way of being able to communicate with each other, if your communication styles are different, you can't understand each other. So you kind of got to come to this like middle ground where you do, like you have to learn how they communicate and they have to learn how you communicate. And if you really want that relationship to work, you have to find that compromise. You have to be able to find a way to understand each other.
Yeah, I think, you know, she was trying to answer some lingering questions she had. But going back to the duality of it, you know, he says in that conversation at the bar, he's like, for me, you're someone who leaves. But for him, you're someone who stays. And then earlier, when she was talking with her husband, she was like, yeah, I used to cry a lot. And he would just have to stand there and watch me. And at the end of the film, when she starts crying, he immediately gets up and goes to her. I was like, he's not just going to stand by and watch her cry. Like, he's going to be there and comfort her. And I loved that little flip-flop. Thought it was really great. Also, I thought about it, and when we were watching it the second time around, when they're at the bar having that conversation, and they kind of, like, tune out Arthur, and it becomes much more just between them two, homeboy understands a lot of Korean, and he probably picked up on a good chunk of what was being said.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Poor dude.
But I mean, at the same time, they needed to say those things, and Arthur didn't.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. It didn't click with me that first time that he wasn't just sitting there going, well, they're talking without me. I guess I'll just sit here and twiddle my thumb.
There's a shot where he like is kind of like he looks over like uneasy. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that he gets it. He may not. He probably knows like the context of or not the whole thing, but maybe
yeah, he's picking up like on every third word or something.
But you can see it in his face. He's like, I'm just going to let this happen. I think that's why he's waiting at the door for her when she comes back at the very end, because he's like, this needs to happen. She needs closure. They both need closure. He's about closure. Yeah. I think that was really. That was really good. Sorry.
That's what they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They needed that. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes.
But you
especially
know
in a world.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially in a world where, like, the grand love story is heralded and it's, like, this big thing of, you know, long-lost loves and childhood loves and, you know, it's very, like, Hollywood-esque, this kind of ending they could have had.
I think that's why I think that's why I like this movie more, because it wasn't all of that stuff that I hate. It was realistic and real, and like these people go through things, and yeah, I loved that. That's yeah.
I also don't think they were meaning to like hide from Arthur, because like obviously he's sitting right there and he does to a certain extent understand Korean. I don't think that anything they said to each other was meant to be hidden from him or was meant to be like hurtful to him at all. And like, I think that he did understand that that's what was, you know, he knows what they need. He knows what they need from each other. I'm sure because of what we see of Nora and Arthur's relationship, I'm sure they've had like a ton of conversations about like, you know, him and her, you know, her childhood and them growing up and like how they connected before and things like that. So I don't think that he's necessarily like, oh no, they're talking about this stuff. I think it's just like, okay, you know, it is what it is. We're going to get through this. We're mature adults and, you know, we're going to get on with our life and our marriage.
Yeah, I think it was just for me, like, the first time I was just so absorbed in what they were saying to each other that I too tuned Arthur out. So this time around, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy is a part of this conversation, even though he's not a part of this conversation.
Right.
It was just something I didn't pick up on the first time.
You know what? One of the things that stood out to me that you just talked about, that like when she's mentioning to him, like, oh, you know, when I was young, I used to cry a lot. And then now that I don't, I think it's not necessarily that he would like stand there and watch her. I think it was just like, okay, that's like the general of it. I think it was more like when you go from somewhere, for example, like her, you go from your home country and then you go to some, you immigrate to somewhere completely new, or you move like to a completely different state, or whatever the situation is. I think that there's a certain layer of like self protection that you have to become like hardened to, like, okay, so like these people are new and they don't know me. And so like, if I exhibit XYZ sort of emotions to them, they're going to assume this about me. So a lot of people, when they make those like huge life changes, they're like, okay, well, I gotta change too. And I got to, I've got to like, you know, mold myself to the situation. That's something that's like, to me, that's very familiar. Cause I know that myself and other people that I know that have had to make those like big life changes from going from, you know, one location to another, like from moving to the Valley to moving to Dallas, those were two completely different things. So, you know, for her coming from a completely different country where she knows very little of the language and she's moving to Canada, you know, that's a huge, huge change. So of course, like, you're made to grow up a lot faster and a lot quicker and having to adjust to
harden yourself.
Yeah. Adjust to your surroundings. So whereas like emotionally a part of her has stayed behind with Haesung, like there's like a the full part of her childhood, her as her young self is like, it's back there too. It's not something that she was fully able to bring with her. And I think the layers of the story are so beautifully told, and just even with this little detail.
You know what I think a huge part of the whole of it is they didn't have a good goodbye in Korea. Mm-hmm. He was mad at her. She was scared to like tell him how she really felt and what was really going on. So, you know, they just said bye as they went on their separate ways, and they didn't get to have like this closure at that moment. So them reconnecting 12 years later online was like, oh wow, there's all of this, you know, possibility that we left completely open. And then again, it was the, we'll talk later, we just can't talk right now. There was still so much possibility when they met another 12 years later. I think this whole movie is a good example of needing closure at different times of your life. Like, they could have used that closure when they were 12, when they were in their 20s, and then now here again, they needed it again. It's not just a one and done kind of thing.
I think maybe they were maybe now ready to close it. Maybe they didn't know how at the time.
Yeah.
They kind of were like waiting for, I guess, because obviously at 12, you're not going to know, like, let me close the relationship. Okay, done. And they probably didn't want it to, they probably had hope that it would continue at 12, 24, whatever. But this was like, okay, it's official. It's time to close it now.
Well, I wonder if in their 20s, you know, when they reconnect, if he had come to New York, a lot of his like traditional Korean values would have, there was still time for those to shift.
Right.
But now they're so embedded in him that even if she wasn't married, I don't think they would have been a good fit, because she is very clearly westernized.
Because she said, she's like, when I'm with him, I feel more Korean and less Korean at the same time.
Yeah. Right. Because he's like, my girlfriend needs someone better to marry. I'm not good enough for her because I'm an only born son with a normal job. Like, dude, I'm sure you're fine.
That's also what I, again, the layers to this, that's also something that makes it so interesting, because you see that perspective of like, okay, so when you do go back home and you see people again that you haven't seen in ages and you go back to the culture where you were raised, like, how well do you still fit in? How much do those people still accept you? Do they still accept you? Do they think you're just some weird stranger now that, like, they're, you know, you can't speak the language as well anymore, or like you don't have the same ideals, and like what you're doing seems wrong to them and what they're doing seems right to them but not to you. So like all this like conflict and all of these very complicated feelings arise, and they were just so well executed here. Like the Celine Song was giving me everything. She was giving me every feeling, every thought, every, like, she was just hitting all the points exactly. And, like, it feels so, like, personal, because I know it's personal to her, but it also feels like a story of many, many people. You know, this is a very, I feel like it's a very almost universal story. There's this quote from, I think, a Variety article that I saved, that says, so Past Lives is less about Nora's love story with Haesung and Arthur than her relationship with time and mortality. And it leaves us with that rueful hope that maybe reincarnation is real and we'll have a next life where, once again, anything is possible. It's all the shifting of the time and the, like, there's so many, the infinite possibilities of existence, of humanity. And she just did such a good job.
You guys believe in past lives and rebirth and all of that? That we'll meet again in another life or have met in a previous life?
Sure, why not?
Joy?
I would like to think so. I think that would be, that would bring me some comfort if that is to be true. Mm-hmm. Of course, like, I don't know, you know, who knows? But I do feel like there's very much like, you know, sometimes you meet people and you're like, oh my God, I feel like I've known you forever, even though we just met. I feel like that feeling is really real. Mm-hmm. So I feel like to a certain extent, that could very much be true. I wouldn't rule it out, which is also part of like the when they're like mentioning the inyoung that they had in their past lives, and she was like, maybe we were just a bird and the branches sat on that morning. Like, that's fucking beautiful.
That's similar to what he said in Everything Everywhere All at Once, right? And he was like, in another timeline, I'd love to do laundry or taxes or whatever he said. I'm messing it up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah. Similar vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I don't know everything, so why wouldn't I believe in anything, you know? Why not? Also, who knows?
Joy, if you would read the book I got you for Christmas. Very
similar.
Oh my
God, I have to finish it. Oh, yeah. Oh
but, my God. I think I do believe in it, because I had a friend who... she had a thing about her neck. Like, she was like, I don't like anything like tight scarves or like even like cross body bags. She didn't like that. Seatbelts kind of would bother her. And it was a big thing of like, she hated things around her neck or that feeling. And then someone was like, what if in a past life, you know, that's how you died, you were choked? Or she was like, that, you know, that would make sense. Like, that trauma has been passed on.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that idea. And then I have some personal things that I can get into later with you guys. But yeah, I like to think that. Although when I was asking a family member, they were like, about it, they said, yeah, but does that mean that someone who I love who has passed isn't waiting for me on the other side? I don't want to think about that not being true. If rebirth is a thing. I was like, that's also interesting.
I never thought of it like that. I don't know. Maybe it's like they don't know that you're... I don't know. That's a lot of questions. I don't know how to answer or ask. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, sure. Yeah, why not?
That's so, yeah, because what if, okay, so what if, like, okay, they have passed and you're still alive for, let's say, another 30 years. What if they've had so many lifetimes between those 30 years already? And then you meet, like, after that. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot there.
I mean, that's, if you remember your past lives, I mean, are you supposed to? Do you at all? Like,
I so deeply want to do a past life regression therapy session.
Also, then I don't want to know that there's another me having a better life. That would piss me off. So maybe I don't want to know.
I don't think it's like concurrent, so that it would be like a long time ago.
Yeah, it just goes with time. Like, okay,
like, let's say your past life would be like in ancient Egypt type times. You know,
okay,
like,
they still have a better time than me. I don't know. Maybe I don't.
What if your past life, you were just a leaf on a tree? That would be cool.
I don't know about that. The whole thing about being another, like a leaf or like another, like a cat or something weird like that. That seems weird. But then again, I don't know. So who knows? All I know is I know nothing. And I don't write this world. I don't make it up. I just live in it. So why not believe in anything, you know?
Possibilities are endless, really.
Yeah, and who am I to say that it's not real?
Right, and until we're not here, we don't know. Yeah. And even then, who's to know that we're going to know? We don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Exactly. Sure. Yeah. If it helps people get through their life easier thinking that past this, they'll feel better, more power to you. Go off. Do that. Whatever literally gets you through the day, I'm all for it.
You know what? So many good lines in this. When Haesung says, "I didn't know that liking your husband would hurt this much." Damn, bitch. Okay.
Dagger to the heart.
Yeah. Ugh. Like, oh wow. Like, and he does. I feel like he genuinely does like him. And the same, like, Arthur is very interested in Haesung, and like he's very welcoming, and they're all very, very mature and accepting about this. And it's so, again, like Crystal said, refreshing to see, because you hardly ever see that. And it's so, like, I feel like society in general likes to put, like, limits on ourselves that, like, oh, we're very dumb, which on the one hand, yes, we're fucking stupid. but on the other hand, I feel like when you love someone or when you respect somebody, I think that you can go that extra mile or even that mile to, like, really, you know, care and put value on their feelings and the things that are important to them. And I feel like Arthur and Nora have that, and then it extends over to Haesung so that they're able to have this very mature, very introspective, like, conversation and relationship. I feel like that is realistic to the people that have halfway decent communication skills. Like, it is possible, and I feel like if you respect someone enough, that you could be able to do that.
I think it's also the benefit of having, you know, two people who are artists. You know, they're both in touch with, you know, communicating their feelings through their writing. And so being able to communicate outwardly is probably a little easier for them. So, yeah, ladies, married a tortured artist.
If you can communicate well, then yes.
Yes.
Because sometimes they can write well, but they can't speak well. And then, yeah. And then what?
Speaking and of writing,
you've got beautiful poems.
Well, the name of his book was Boner. Did I get that wrong?
I think that was correct.
What? I was watching the scene, and like I caught the title of the book like towards the, like right where it changed, and I was like, did that just say Boner? That's not that kind of movie.
Yeah,
I meant to look it up and to see if that was actually it, but I was like, that's
I'm gonna Google
weird.
That's
weird.
That's what I saw. And that's why I was like, that's the only time in the movie that I was like, what?
I got out of it. So I wasn't sure if that's actually what it was, but I was like, that's so weird. That's suspicious. Also, this reminds me, I never watched First Cow. No, and Anna and I went to go see the shorts of whatever year that was.
Ooh.
That year. We kept seeing the trailer for First Cow that stars John Magaro, I think his name is. And we're like, oh, that looks nice. And I was like, okay, it's a cow. Oh, and we just keep seeing so many times. We're like, we're going to have to watch this movie. And we never did.
Aw. Sorry. I remember that from that year.
Sorry, cow. We didn't see you.
It seemed cute.
I heard it was good.
Same, but never got there.
It's A24, right?
Probably.
I think so.
I know we'll talk about shots later, but there's one I specifically that I want to get into. So the shot in the beginning when they're going their separate ways and he's going, you know, straight and she's going up. I love the geometry of that shot. Mm-hmm. I love the colors of that shot. I really want someone more educated than me to like take that image and just like dissect it so much. Just look at it and just like give me all the deets on that shot. Because I was just like, it's such a... Again, I don't really have the words or, like, the smarts to give you what was so good about that shot, but I know it was phenomenal.
Ugh. I think it might be the what do you call it? Oh, my God. How did I forget it? I went to school for art. It's the degree, the swirl degree of that makes, like, a perfectly proportioned image.
Sure.
Fibonacci?
Sure. I honestly have no idea what it is now. Fibonacci sequence. The swirly thingy that divides it. Yes, it's beautiful, it's stunning. The angles, the parallels, the point of whatever.
Geometry of it is so good.
Yes.
And I don't know how or why, but I'm just like, someone dissect this, please, and give it to me. I need them to do, like, a Vanity Fair YouTube video of, like, dissecting a scene. Like, please, please do that one specific. Please. I need to see it.
All my art education just went out my ear, out my brain. Like, my brain is leaking out of my ear right now. Jesus. Yes. I see what you see. Yeah. I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
With my eyes. Yeah, immediately that shot was like embedded in my brain and I was like, this is...
Yeah, and then the fact that they shoot back to it at the end, I literally gasped.
Bitch! I was like, oh my God.
Shook. I was shook.
Oh my God.
Because that's what they're thinking. And that's exactly what they're thinking. And it's fantastic. Yeah.
It's so perfectly...
Also, I loved that like right before the Uber gets there and they're just kind of like... They're next to each other. And she slowly starts to just turn her body towards him, you know, and they're saying so much without saying anything. And I think that's really good. It's a testament to their acting, to the way that they're in silhouette is beautiful. Yes. Like, I was like, wow, this movie is very good. Way better than I thought it was going to be. Because I was like, oh, man, I guess we'll watch this. Fine. I was not excited, to be honest with you. Not at all.
She doesn't trust us.
I know.
I trust you. What are you talking about?
Looked forward to it. We told you it was good.
Mm-hmm. But y'all like all romantic stuff all the time. I knew y'all were gonna love this. I'm not surprised by that. But I was just.
But we also know what you like.
Yeah, we know you like good films, good cinematography, good writing, good acting.
Also, because you were talking about the dialogue, and that dialogue is great. But the scene setup, like the establishing shots, were really good. Just like, wow, I was like, this is such a great movie. Like, there's really not a bad thing about it, honestly, other than maybe the boner part, but which was not really bad. It was just kind of like, okay, sure, I don't want to read that book. I mean, when we get to shots, I have some shots too, but
let's get into shots.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay,
did you have something else, Joy? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no. Just, like, speaking about the shots, I think the cinematography is something that grows on you. It's not like, you know, there's other films this year where it's like so like in your face and this is the shot. But this is like something that just kind of feels like lived in and like you're not like invading their space, but you're like being welcomed into their space, into their environment. It's so soft and it grows over time.
Yeah, speaking to the direction, like the way that Celine Song just kind of like slowly pans the film or pans the camera and just lets the scene breathe. She lets it breathe so beautifully because you think like, so many things that she just kind of like, I know where the shot is good. Here it is. Let it breathe. And you think like, this is too long, but actually, no, it's not. It's perfect amount of time.
No, it's perfect. Them.
Yeah, I just, wow. One of the establishing shots that I really liked was before she goes into that house, which I was confused because I thought that was her parents' house. And I was like, why are there other people in this house? But it was like some writing retreat or whatever where she meets Arthur. I was like, what? Uh-huh. Is she hurt her parents? I was so confused. Anyways, so before she gets there, there's a shot of like a half lemon in a glass bowl by a window.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a painting. I was like, I want that in my house. Like, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
All the salvation shots were great. Or how she would like show shots of the city while there's voiceover as if to pass time. Very good. The shot of Arthur and Nora sitting on the outside table where it's pitch black right behind them. Like, that's the only thing that's important is them two. Similar when they're walking towards the tree in silhouette with the lights hanging. Gorgeous. Anna, somebody go.
I really liked the filter used on this film, that like the blue tones I thought was really beautiful. I really enjoyed the color story of this film.
Another one I remembered was it's similar to the tweet you sent us, but I like that the way the shot through the subway window where you just see Hey Song at first, mm-hmm. and then the car shifts and then you see both of them. Ugh. Gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, I think I have more, or maybe not. A joy go.
Shit, where are my shots? Oh, yeah, even the one, Hey Song's silhouette against the rainy backdrop under the awning at his hotel.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Beautiful, talented, amazing, incredible. Totally original, never been done before. Also, the two consecutive shots after that, the reflection of the city on the puddle during the rain as he's going to meet Nora. And then the transition shot for that is another reflection of the rain. It's just
similar to like whenever they shoot a shot that's in fire, it's always good. Anytime you shoot a reflection off a puddle, I mean,
gorgeous.
Gorgeous, 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 gorgeous.
I'm also a sucker for mirror shots. So I love like when she's in the bathroom and she's like putting lotion on and there's like the mirror of her. And then we're also looking at Arthur. They're not looking at each other.
Yes.
I loved the staging of that scene.
So many good shots.
You know,
like I kind of wish. Okay, you know, this movie, I kind of wish I could hang the whole movie like in my apartment or my house, just because it kind of feels like a really beautiful, I don't want it to sound like, reduce it to just like a screen, a slideshow, but I just want like every still of this movie to be in a slideshow, just play all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it would be beautiful, but it just really, it's because, yeah, it's great.
It's so good. It's something that's so like, it's simple, but it's thoughtful, and there's so much, like, they're so loaded, like, you know, there are two paths, the lines dividing them. There's one more shot that I have that I pulled from, I think, also the same Variety article. I don't know. I was reading something. Speaking of walking, there's a nice detail at the end that Celine Song called out in the press notes for Past Lives. She purposely had Nora and Hey Song walk right to left across the screen. Song says,
oh, wow.
when When you draw a timeline, it always works left to right. By walking right to left, you are walking quite literally into the past. You walk them there. The wind sort of blows her towards the past. And then he gets in the car. Then the Uber, of course, has to drive into the past. She will stand there for a moment. And then she's going to go back home. And every step is going to be a walk towards the future from the past.
That's fantastic.
Like, galaxy sure, brain. Galaxy
you freaking
brain.
Kidding me?
I'm sure that script is a joy to read.
Oh my God. Yeah, I saw excerpts of it.
Uh-huh.
I want the whole thing. I want it printed, bound on my bookshelf now. I need it.
And also, this is, we'll get to the categories, but it makes it even worse that she wasn't nominated for director.
Bitch, don't even get me started.
Because
I will yell the rest of the podcast.
Her direction is so prominent in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, yeah, you liked the writing. Yeah, me too. But like, it didn't direct itself. Like,
right. Like the directing, she touched every single part of this movie. Her hand is so clearly in every single part of this movie.
Yes, but it's not heavy-handed either.
Right.
Beautiful. Oh my God.
Yes. Masterful. How do you be so good, but also like let it live, but also give it life?
How you be so good is the question.
How you be so good?
Exactly.
How? It's just so.
Well, while we're irate, this will take 2 seconds. Let's go through the categories.
Wait, I have more notes.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh,
go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry.
Okay, hold on. I had a lot of notes. Where they go?
I have notes too, so you go first, unless you want me to go.
Okay, so when they first meet in the pond, they both like stop, right? And they're both just like waiting for something to happen. And then I love that Nora goes all in for the hug, like all completely. And then he's like, oh my God, it's happening. And then he slowly comes up for the hug. Like, bitch, like that shit is beautiful.
Yeah.
And then she has so much like affection for him, romantic or not. She has so much affection for them. She goes back and hugs him twice. And they keep just saying like, wow, at each other because the moment. And they
that's
don't really
great,
need to say.
It's a great scene.
They don't need to say anything.
It is.
Honestly, Oscars. They should have Oscars in this fucking scene.
I'll get to that.
I also had a note about that moment that I forgot about. So she hugs him and he's hesitant and he's like, okay, and then hugs. At the end of the movie, when he's leaving, he hugs her and she's the one who's hesitant to let it, like, like, he was so in awe of it starting, and she was so in agony of it ending. I thought that was such a beautiful
duality.
And they loved it.
We talk about face acting, but they both do a really good job in those scenes of body acting. You know, just they have their shoulders so high, especially in the beginning when he sees her like, wow. And the way he just kind of falls, his shoulders falls into her when she, like, oh, my God. Like, he's so good. I'm so impressed.
They're both so good. That's not fair.
Do you have any other notes, Joy?
Oh, yes. Okay, so I watched an interview with the three of them, and the actor who plays Arthur said that Celine specifically did not let Haesung and Arthur meet in person before shooting that scene they meet in the movie, so that there's that extra layer of, like, you know,
I saw that too.
Oh,
that's good.
How do you be so good? How do you get that good? How? I can't. Okay. Do I have anything else? Haesung has the softest, cutest smile I've ever seen in my life. It's so fucking cute. I can't stand him. I just want to like swish his face. He's so adorable. Okay. All right. I'm done.
I thought the very first establishing scene where we're as an outsider and they're like, who do you think they are to each other? That was great. I was like, oh, I
delicious.
Like this. Yes. And then her
I play that game all the time.
And then her slow look at the camera, I was like, oh, I'm in. Whatever this is, I'm in. Their whole date at the park was really sweet. I thought that was really cute. She's making me want to get a short haircut. Damn it.
Bob. You're so good in a bob. You'd be like bitch in a bob. You killing it in a bob.
I wrote, he's pouring it into nothing. LOL. What? Oh, when
you when wrote they're what?
At the restaurant, and he's like sad about his girlfriend. He's crying because his girlfriend broke up with him, one of his friends. And in the background, his friend's just pouring a cup, but it's empty. He's just pouring it. Nothing. I thought that was so funny. I thought this was her parents' house. I said that already. That's a weird question. Whenever they're at the immigration at TSA or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, are y'all related? What? No. His book is called Boner? ? I said that's a real Korean barbecue. Let me go there.
Oh yeah.
I had Korean barbecue like the day before I watched it, and I was like, oh, let me go there. Oh, this would make a great play.
Oh, I'll see it on stage. What? I would love to.
And because it's really simple, they have so much room to be inventive in their storytelling on the stage.
Mm.
It would be great. It would be really good.
Oh my god. Let's go. Someone, Celine Song, come on. Let's put it together. Someone
commission the script, please, because I will.
I know.
We won't get you an Oscar, we'll get you a Tony.
Which that's is fine. Funny. Okay. So she that's says fine. That in the when they he's like, well, you wanted a Nobel Prize or whatever. What do you want now? She's like, oh, a Tony. And I said, oh, you mean an Oscar, Celine Song? That's what I said.
She said a Pulitzer.
She said a Nobel. She said
a Tony at the end, right?
Yeah, she said a Tony at the end. She said a Nobel when she was 12. Yeah. When she was 24, it was a Pulitzer. Yeah. And then the current.
Like, a Tony. And I was like, oh, you mean an Oscar. That's what I said. Slow pants, really good. Oh, I love how he was like, Hey Song was like, what, you haven't eaten? Go eat right now. I was like, a man. Making sure you're fed, a man.
Or a joy.
Yeah. Wait, did y'all eat tonight? Do you have a dinner already? Everybody eat? Anna, you better have some frozen nuggets in your fridge. Crystal, you better have some frozen tacos in your fridge. Come on.
To be fair, okay, I was weird because there's sweet potatoes in the kitchen that we need to cook. So I chopped a bunch up and put in the oven, but I had to record. So Ariana's getting them out in. So when I'm done with this,
I'll cook. Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, I'm going to salad when we're done.
Fabulous. And I'm going to have probably some taquitos too. So.
I said Hustler's comparison. Oh, yeah. Women telling women stories. We'd love to see it.
Yes. Give me more. Give me more. Which point on that, I will talk about that for another movie later on.
Teaser.
What could she be talking about?
I was gonna make a joke and I lost it. Sorry. compares the love to a donut. Brooklyn comparison. More. Okay, I'm done. Okay, ready for category. Sorry.
I got one more. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
One more real quick. I think it's so true that, at least in the way that the movie was giving it to us, the way you communicate for them, for example, for Nora in her native tongue, is so unique. Even if it's like your another language, you know, your personality's a little bit different, your attitude's a little bit different. It's like a slightly different version of herself, and I could see it whenever she was. When she reconnected with him over like Skype or whatever, that she was like lively and like her brightness that she had. And then when you see her forward later, she's just kind of like normal and steady. And then once she connects with Haesung in person, it like comes back to her. And the way she articulates herself in Korean is a little bit different. Her diction and her like, her whole attitude is a little bit different. And I think that's, to her at least, that's very true. And it also reconnects back to him, like, wanting to, like, know her language, to know her even deeper than he already does.
Also, I like how when they're talking on Skype, the Skype freezes. I was like, that's so real.
I know.
Hello? Like, yes. All right.
Okay, categories. Best picture.
Absolutely.
100%
Are you kidding me with this? Like, we talked about rating movies 5 stars. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's really nothing bad about it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Original screenplay.
100,000%
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hundo P, hundo P. Now.
Do we think it's... Oh, I guess we'll wait for... Oh, no, we can talk about it now because this is it. Who do you think is going to win?
Oh,
oh, for all the screenplays. Original. Oh, okay.
Because we've talked about all the ones that we're going to podcast about.
Okay, so, hold on.
So me, who do you...
So then, do you want me to read it?
Are you guys? Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, Past Lives.
Oh, dang.
I have a feeling it's going to go to Anatomy of a Fall.
Because of the bad
stuff? And I would not be mad.
I mean... It, yeah, it's a great script, so I wouldn't, I really want Celine Song to win, though, because that's tough, because I really like both those movies.
And they're both women.
Yeah. But she's also, she's Celine Song, a woman of color, so it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pray it's Past Lives. I don't know that it will be. But I'm hoping, because the original screenplay has been known as kind of like the cool award, like the cool people get that award. So I'm hoping that Celine Song's cool enough. Because also maybe that might be the only one she would win. It's not going to win picture, which sadly it should. But I think I'm going to hold out for Celine. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do a little prayer circle for her.
Yeah. Joy, what do you think?
I know that people were talking about it was gonna, it's like the, it was like the front runner, but then after the BAFTAs, then it's got a little more competition with the Down Movie of Fall.
Did you watch the BAFTAs?
I just caught like clips and stuff on Twitter. So I saw the speeches. But where can we watch? Where does it come on?
Yeah, it's like BBC America or something.
Oh, I don't have it. So I can't.
Yeah, see. But like the BAFTAs are like kind of racist. They don't really like people of color over there. So, I mean, think about it. They didn't nominate what's his name? Last year, who won supporting actor? What is his name?
What movie?
Oh, no. Everything Everywhere.
Ki-Wei Kwan.
Yeah, he didn't win that. And he won literally every award that season but that one.
Racist.
So they're not
It is British, so it's kind of built on racism.
I take the BAFTAs with a huge grain of salt because they salty over there. So who wins? Meh, usually the white folks. So because
they stole the salt from everywhere else. You know what? And also because like this is the first year in their like 70-something years that an Irishman has won a lead actor award.
Mm-hmm.
And like this is like, I mean, I know they're not, you know, the biggest fans of the Irish, but like, come on, like,
yeah,
rude.
Time to move on, BAFTAs.
Yeah, get over it.
Get with the program. How about like welcome to 2024.
I would not be upset if either Anatomy of a Fall or Past Lives won. I think they're both wonderful and both deserving.
Yeah.
But I do think if I chose, it'd probably be Past Lives and then Anatomy.
Holding on for Past Lives. I'm praying. I'm hoping it's like a, oh my God, what was the girl who won last year for Women Talking? Damn it, what was her name?
Oh my God. Fuck!
I'm sorry.
Hold on. I have it right here.
Why?
Sarah Polley.
Yeah, she went for Adapted. Yes. So I'm hoping it's like that. Even though this is original, but whatever.
Sarah
Polley. Still, like, yeah.
Yeah, because so, Everything Everywhere was going to win no matter what. It was sweeping everything, but Women Talking, yeah.
So let's talk about categories it should be in.
Girl, yes. Let's have a conversation.
All of them.
But of them. I have some specifics. Do you want to start, Anna?
No, you go for it.
Okay, so obviously Best Director. We've said this before. It is phenomenally directed. There is honestly not a bad thing about it. And I probably am going to rate it 5 stars on Instagram, on Letterboxd, because honestly, there's not a bad thing about it. It's perfect. It really is perfect.
It's all about that elusive Instagram 5-star.
Yeah. Okay. So any other comments on that?
She should win. She should be here and she should win. Honestly. Yeah. I love Christopher Nolan. I love Martin Scorsese. But if she was in this category, she would kill it. She would win. She should win.
I'll save my who's going to win until we talk about the other ones, but I do agree that she should be there.
My personal fave.
And even if she won, I would be mad at it.
Yeah.
I also think Teo Yu should have been best actor because he was phenomenal.
Yes! Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
I would have taken Bradley Cooper out of here and put Teo Yu.
Amen.
Are you kidding me with this? Because I've actually seen all these movies now. I saw Rustin. Call Me to Mingle is really good. The movie, not. The movie's like a C plus maybe. But thing about like bad biopics is like, this is a bad movie. But I do like that I'm learning about this person who I had no idea about. Especially someone who's like a queer person, a queer black man who I would never learn in school. So it was nice to learn about him. I definitely read more about him on Wikipedia page. So it did what it needed to do. And he did a good job, but the movie's not great. but Teo Yu, I think he was phenomenal. He should be nominated.
He should be. He should be nominated.
Yeah.
He is perfect. I just want a gif of his smile just so I can watch. And just that will just make me happy if I just see that every morning.
I read that he was born and raised in Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that he's fluent in like three languages.
I believe that.
Good for him.
English being one of them.
So then he was acting.
Acting. Honestly, the face acting, like the body language. I think a lot of people forget that like when you're acting, it's your full body. It's everything. It's all of it. It's like from the tips of your fingers to the bottom of your toes, like your ears, like your eyes, your eyebrows, like all of it. Your everything. Everything should be acting. And they did such a phenomenal job. Him and Greta Lee, but like him in that, like, because so much is about language, mm-hmm. it's also the body language. That's also a language. And he embodied it.
Yes. I took some acting classes a while back. Years ago, and one of the challenges I had in the class was like, you have to convey this emotion without using your arms, or you can't talk and you can't stand up or something. So it's different things that they like restrict us in physically, and we had to convincingly convey that emotion in the scene. And I remember feeling, this is so weird, but I liked it because I was like, oh, I can find a different way to like talk to this person. Very, very cool.
I also think that Greta Lee should be in Best Actress.
Yes, yes.
1,000%
Yes, yes.
My
1,000%
Yes. My dream lineup would be removing Carey Mulligan and Annette Bening and putting in Greta Lee and Natalie Portman.
Oh.
Ooh, yeah. I love this.
I would have said Margot Robbie, but not, yeah, you're right. Natalie Portman is better. Yeah. She's really great. I'll co-sign that. Yeah.
It's just really great. Really great roles for women. Just really good stuff in there.
About damn time.
Honestly, right, exactly. Greta Lee. How all the things we said about how do you pronounce the name again? One more time, please.
Teo Yu.
But like in the other, like in the body language and the face acting, she was doing so much face acting. And I think her face acting is up there with Lily Gladstone's face acting. And I was like, where is her fucking nomination? Why? How dare you? First of all, okay. Like,
The disrespect,
bitch. First of all, this is also a rule. The way they can only nominate one woman every year, they can only nominate one woman of color in the category every year. I think only like a couple of other times there's been more than one, but like it seems like they stick to, they're just like one and done. They're like, oh well, you know, we gave them something, so like that's it. But like, bitch, we're fucking talented. They're fucking talented. Like,
yeah. And Oppenheimer gets like 30 nominations. Like,
come exactly. on. She's running acting circles around some of the people in this. And, like, excuse me?
I think it's because the uneducated think, like, a lot of performance is the best performance. And that's not necessarily true. When it's a smaller performance, sometimes it takes a little bit more work. And it's just a different muscle you have to flex. And people don't understand that a lot of the times. So I think sometimes smaller performances, quieter performances get left behind because they don't think it's, like, a performance.
Right. You're not going to have that big, like, ooh, the Oscar scene when I'm fucking sobbing. Exactly.
Because if this was directed by anybody other than Celine Song, it would have been, like, a big boo-hoo scene. She would have been crying. She would have been, like, like, it would have been ridiculous.
Right. Because even in the end where she, like, cries into Arthur's arms, like, it's not, like, we're not, like, seeing her face very much. It's her body.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, a, like.
It would have been extreme close-up, tears, boo-hooing. Like, it just would have been ridiculous. But that's not what this movie was. And I think people don't know how to appreciate that as well as they should.
Well, fuck those people. They should.
Well, yeah.
Another category I wouldn't mind seeing it in is best cinematography.
Yeah.
Yes! I was just going to say that.
I don't know El Conde very well. So if I was taking one out that I know, I'd probably take out Maestro. And I would replace it with Schaber Kirchner for this film.
I
have someone
That's hard.
Else.
That's rough.
I also don't know El Conde, but I have someone else that I would also take out of there and put this in for. But we'll get there later.
Oh.
Huh?
I said,
She said, oh, teaser.
Teasers. I just think, again, the same way they can't appreciate a quiet performance, they cannot appreciate cinematography that's not a giant looming shadow over Carey Mulligan. You know?
I'm a sucker for it. I fell for it. Damn it.
I also fell for it because, bitch, I love the cinematography. It was good. As obvious as it was, as in my face as it was, as, like, as it was, like, the images are beautiful and they're seared into my brain, so.
It worked.
What am I going to do? I'm a visual person. I just, I ate that shit up, like, and just, you know,
I'm
looking at stills of El Conde, and God damn it, it looks good.
Damn it. I do want to watch it.
I gotta look it up.
I do want to watch it.
It's black and white, but it looks like interesting black and white.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Can I say another category I think it should be nominated for? Original score. I didn't notice it too much in the movie, but I listened to it yesterday, and I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. It's, again, much like the movie, quiet and gorgeous and beauty and simplicity. And it's just a really nice, calm score. I really enjoyed it. Oh, my God. I blanked on who is the composer. Sorry.
The scorer.
The scorer. let me credit them. Because I know they're going to listen to this, and I don't want them to be pissed at me.
We love you, scorer. We really appreciate you.
It's Christopher Bear. Come on, Spotify. What are you doing? Sorry. Christopher Bear and Daniel Rosen. Rosen. A great score. I would put it up there. And I'll say more when we get to those categories. But
you know,
I
didn't notice it that much the first watch because I was so invested in everything else. But the second time that I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, it's there. It's like lingering. But not, like, over the top. Again, like everything else in this movie, it's very gentle. It's very...
Gentle. That's a good word.
It's very delicate. And it serves its purpose without, like, hitting us over the head with it. Without being so obvious. And it just, like... Everything about this film is about establishing the environment. It's about establishing a feeling. Establishing, you know, these people. And all the parts fit into it so well. The fact that Oppenheimer has 13 and this one doesn't have 13. Fucking rude. Fucking rude. How dare you? How fucking dare you? I mean, I fucking love Oppenheimer. It was great. But you can't tell me that this isn't just as good.
To me, it's apples and oranges. Like, they're just different movies.
Yes. And I get that too. But also, like, I feel if we go, okay, if we're thinking about the category best picture, okay. Apples and oranges, taste-wise, whatever. But if we're looking at the individual categories where it's, like, where it's technical, mm-hmm. very technical, that's different. That's a little bit easier to, like, that's a little bit easier to judge when you're looking at cinematography or sound design or score or, you know, screenplay. It's a little bit easier to judge it when you break it down to those pieces versus when you go, like, overall. And even overall, I could be like, well, it checks this box and it checks this box and it checks that box. So, like, mm-hmm. we technically still, yes. So
another category I think it should be in is, and I don't know anything about this, but film editing. Because I look at it and I think, that's well edited. I think all, for only reason is for the switch shot to them being children at night. For that scene alone, editing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I literally gas in my chair.
Like, why not? Yes. Like, oh yeah. You know, also if we break it down a little bit more, yes, because like the way, not just the way it plays in with the cinematography, and when she has those panning shots and the way it cuts to the next shot, the transitions. That was really well done without, like, being jumpy.
Yeah.
Because how you go from, like, a long panning shot to, like, a quicker cut, it didn't feel like, you know, we were jumping from one thing to the next. It felt very smooth. It felt very cohesive.
It felt like a lot of smart choices were being made in the editing room.
Yes.
To me.
Yes. Yes.
Best editing. I'm just saying.
We can just... Every category. Let's do it. Let's put it everywhere.
Best editing. I'm best.
Best makeup and hairstyling. Why not?
I'm putting it in there.
Bob? Yes.
The bob, bitch. The bob was bobbing. Like, that bob was serving. That bob was serving. And then, Crystal, I need you to go to your hairdresser and be like, I need this bob, please. So you can serve swish, swish.
That's so short, though.
I
have a lot more going on than she does. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Well, maybe not that short, but I love the bob that you had before. It was so like, ooh, Crystal with the bob. Like, ooh, who is this bitch? So like, she's Crystal so cool. This is Bob Crystal. Excuse me.
So Crystal with the bob.
Another relation to the bob. Back to Greta Lee, there's a scene like after she's done breaking up with him via Skype, and she takes her headphones off, and there's just a shot of the back of her neck. I don't know if she does neck acting, but you can tell that she's just like it's a lot on her. And I was like, the neck is acting, like. I mean, I didn't see I Love You, Karen Mulligan do that, but, like, it was acting. The neck was acting.
Wasn't given the chance to neck act.
Actually, one of the shots of Carrie Mulligan is from behind where you see her neck, and she was not doing what Greta Lee was.
She's so beautiful, though. I love her so much. I mean, who else in the category? And I love these women, but they were not neck acting. Greta Lee was neck acting. I'll watch Naya to know for sure, but I'm pretty sure she wasn't neck acting.
I'm going to watch it too, just to know.
I hope Annette Bening has the best neck acting. Just for strong.
I do plan on watching.
Swimming. I do. Above and she's swimming and that neck is acting.
Just like veins popping out.
I'm going to be like, oh, I stand corrected. If that happens, I'm going to watch Naya. I'm going to come back and be like, you know what? My bad. Go off, queen.
Oh my god, holy shit.
I do plan on watching everything. Like I said, I watched Rustin. So Nayed is next on the list because it is, you know, the top tier category. So I'm trying to get there. I think I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna get it done.
Do it.
Categories. Anything else?
Rankings.
Okay.
Anyone wanna go first?
Sure.
Not me.
So at number 7, I have Killers of the Flower Moon. At number 6, I have Maestro. Number 5, The Holdovers. Number 4, Oppenheimer. Number 3 is Barbie. Number 2 is where I have Past Lives. And number 1 is Anatomy of a Fall.
Wow.
Our lists are very similar. few changes. Number 7, I have Maestro. Number 6, I have Killers. 5, I have The Holdovers. And in 4th place, I have Barbie. 3rd place, Oppenheimer. And as of right now, and these are really interchangeable, I have number 2, Anatomy of a Fall, and number 1, Past Lives.
I'm not surprised by that.
They're both so good. I literally just filled number 1 and 2 in, like, a minute ago as we were talking.
It feels like both parts of your personality, actually. A mystery, right? And a love story. Like, that's totally you.
Oh, yeah! Oh, my God, that's
awesome. Fear is gonna kill me.
But I feel like the love would win over on you, just in general. So, Past Lives being 1 is pretty
awesome. Because I'm a sap.
You are, and I love you for it.
Joy?
My list is, as we know, very different. At number, how many is it? 7?
7.
Number 7, I have Anatomy of a Fall. Number 6, I have Maestro. And then Killers of the Flower Moon. 4, did we all have Barbie as 4?
No.
No, okay. Barbie is 4. The Holdovers is 3, Oppenheimer is 2, and Past Lives is 1.
Okay.
Honestly, my Barbie and Oppenheimer could also be interchangeable.
My Holdovers and Oppenheimer could be interchangeable, now that I'm looking at it.
Barbie just made me feel so, it made me laugh so much. And I feel like anything you make me feel is going to top the movie that's before it.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, we're winding down. We got 3 more to go.
Yes! Oh, shit.
I'm excited. I actually watch all the movies. I'm so excited. I'm done.
Oh, same. I have 1 left. I'll get to it tomorrow.
I watched the last one on Saturday. So I'm finito.
Yeah, after tomorrow, right, I'll just watch all the extras.
We're in the home stretch.
Yes.
3 more to go. We can't wait to talk 3. About all of them.
Yay!
We'll Yay!
Bye.
Bye. Bye.